It's WOSN's podcast, The Three Wise Men. I'm Danny Holbrook, joined alongside Miles Holiday and Randy Roberts, and our special guest, Patrick Kamler. Gentlemen, welcome to The Three Wise Men.
Great to be here.
It always is, isn't it?
It is. Can't believe it's week 7 already.
The mayor of Toledo, Randy Roberts.
No, whoa, I don't want that.
Oh, no.
Mayor of Northwest Ohio.
Well, it doesn't matter. Nah, Toledo, okay. Northwest Ohio. We should have gave it to Michigan years ago.
I'll agree with that.
Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
All right, guys. We're going to start it off. We're going to get right into it. The Diamond Dave Bowen. Best thing we saw all week. We're going to start with you, Mr. Holiday.
Well, you know, things, because Dave always says it's got to be things, right?
Right, it's got to be things.
There's so many
multiple things.
There's only, so I have three things for you guys. As a football guy, absolutely loved the elements being part of high school football last Friday. Because everybody loves football in the summer where you're throwing it around. It's nice and fun. And early in the season, it's 70, 80 degrees, and we're throwing the ball. And it's a lot of fun because it's nice weather out. And then you forget, October rolls around, and it's physicality and running the football and the elements. And those teams that can handle those things are really successful. So to me, it was the root of football, and guys had to be tough to win football games. And that was a nice reminder on Friday. Also, Amari Wash for Elida. Randy and I have got to see this guy the last couple weeks. Everybody in Northwest Ohio, do not kick to Amari Wash.
You said that
please,
last week.
Do
yeah.
not kick right. to him.
No, do it. It makes for good TV
it
when
does.
He returns
exactly.
it. So please do. Everyone, please kick to him. Kick directly to him. Kick directly to him and do not block.
As a play-by-play guy, you like
yeah,
that, right?
Oh, yeah, very much so.
He's absolutely electric with the football in his hands, and he's got great feet. So, yeah, you, at your own peril, kick to Amari Wash. And then Zach Osborne for Anna. 5 touchdowns against Delphus St. John's. The guy was absolutely amazing.
Randy, what's the best thing you saw all week?
So it kind of goes with what Miles said. The best thing I saw all week was us dealing with a slight delay because of some LED lights.
Yeah.
Yes. And then still getting out after kickoff was pushed back to 7:30. Still getting out a half hour earlier than we did the previous week when we saw 62-56 game. So the best thing I saw was a very quick football game that I appreciated.
Love that,
a whole
right?
heck of a lot.
Patrick, what's the best thing you saw all week?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I actually was off of calling games last week, which I was not expecting. So I had some personal time, which was nice. But I was reminded that the high school players are significantly tougher than we give them credit for. Because a young man at my church played the entirety of a football game. Didn't know it at the time, of course. But at that time, he played almost the entire game with a bruised kidney.
Oh,
and
wow.
Did not realize it until, you know, you get done and the adrenaline starts to wear off. And you're like, huh.
My kidney hurts.
That hurts. That hurts back there.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on.
Wow.
So had to have a little bit of a hospital stay, but everything checked out, and he's good to go. And I don't know if he's going to play this week. That decision has been made. But when you care about something and you want to pursue something, you do whatever it takes to get it. And you know, kudos to him for playing through the discomfort, whatever there was there. And it's just a nice little reminder that, hey, you know, things hurt on us a little bit more than they used to. But not for these guys that are, you know, 30-odd years younger than we are.
That's terrific stuff, guys. I had Allen East Columbus Grove last week, and Gilly and I talked before the game. And the pregame show, we talked about, you know, it was obvious everybody had to run the ball in those conditions last week. Gentlemen, I saw a young man run the ball. I don't know if he's the best running back in the state of Ohio. He's got a case for it, and it's Trenton Barraza. This kid is absolutely spectacular. 25 carries, 308 yards, 4 touchdowns. He carried them on his back. He was dominant. I'm not saying he's the best back in Ohio, but in Northwest Ohio, he's number one for me, guys. He is fantastic. He does it all. He can catch it out of the backfield. He can go between the tackles. He can outrun you. He is just a workhorse, and his work ethic, from what I've heard from the coaches and the community, second to none, and that's why he is as good a player as he is in Northwest Ohio.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he's done it with 3 different quarterbacks, right?
Yes.
So there's
yes.
been times where they said everybody knows he's going to get the football because they're kind of questioned at quarterback and still getting 308 yards.
Yeah, there was no question about what they were going to do. They started Kyle Hopkins as the wide receiver at quarterback last week. He did a really nice job because all he had to do was turn around and hand it to number 3, and Trenton just took off. And I laughed and I joke about that, but that's what they did. He was spectacular. You watch one of those games, guys, where you see a kid gets in the zone and you just know. You just know it's his night. Mm-hmm. That was his night. They would put 6, 7, 8-man fronts up there. It didn't matter. He was fantastic.
And Barraza is one of those kids that's been in there since he was a freshman. He's been seeing significant time since he was a freshman at Grove, so he knows that offense. He knows that better than probably anyone else on the field at that point in time, and he has developed physically. Even as a 9th and 10th grader, he was still a guy that was hitting holes pretty hard and making those runs and doing all those things that Andy Schaefer's asked him to do at Columbus Grove, and he has just gotten better with age. And now I think you're seeing the culmination of all of that effort where he's able to rattle off 300 yards. And again, I'm with you. I don't know if he's the best back in the state. Yeah. I think he's up there, certainly, but it's going to be interesting to see how that continues here in the last 6 weeks of the football season. We head into the playoffs and where they can go, and if Barraza can put Columbus Grove on his back and see how far he can take them.
Yeah, we saw them, and you talked about earlier, Miles, they lost their quarterback. They were on their third quarterback, and a team like Columbus Grove, they're really, really good. And you just look at them, nothing phases them. The wind, the rain, the third-string quarterback, they just came out, and they just played smash-mouth football. This is a team, I'm not kidding you, that can go really, really deep in the playoffs.
That showdown at the end of the year against Bluffton is going to be
fantastic.
It's going to be amazing. Both teams, you know, every single week you got to score 3 touchdowns to beat them because their defenses are just so amazing, right? I think Bluffton gives up like 5 points a game, yeah. and Columbus Grove gives up like 9 points a game. So it's going to be a battle. I'm hoping, Randy and I, we were lucky enough to get assigned that game. I'm hoping for a rainy night that night because that'd be a great old school night.
I want to know where you guys are going to sit because every media outlet in Northwest Ohio is going to be there. They're going to have you in the end zone or on the stands or what. But yeah, I was really jealous when I saw that. So good for you guys. That's going to be the game of the year in the Northwest Conference. Yeah.
I saw the jealousy in your eyes when you said that.
You can see it. Steely. I was just staring at you. Don't get sick, Randy.
Hey, Randy, drink out of this.
It'd be terrible if you had an accident on the way home tonight, wouldn't it, Randy?
Jeez, Danny.
Man.
I'm sorry,
which
Randy.
Which route do you
friend.
Take on the way home?
Mayor of Mercy Health, Randy Roberts.
All right,
Miles, can I ride with you?
No.
Miles, I'm going to let you introduce our guest for the night and take it from there.
Yeah, Patrick Kamler, you guys know him, a legend in the sports world here around Lima. But the reason we wanted to have you on, Patrick, because Sports Report is such a big part of the community for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you were a major part of the Sports Report. So, you know, we wanted to have you in to talk about that because it's been off the air, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, I think the second season with it off, yes.
We still get people at games will come
all
up.
The time.
Hey,
all the time.
What happened to the Sports Report? Are you guys going to bring back the Sports Report? So it has a great deal of meaning to the people in the area. So we wanted to talk to you about that. And why don't you walk us through about how you got started with the Sports Report and, you know, maybe some memories that you had, some fond memories.
Sure. Well, you know, it was something that just kind of got dropped in my lap one day. I know that sounds kind of funny to say it, but that's really how it came upon me. I started here at WOSN, well, before it was WOSN. WTLW did all of the sports back then, and 20 years ago I was brought on as a sports producer, and I helped produce Touchdown Friday, which was the primordial goo from which Sports Report emerged, essentially, and Sports Report took off in 2005, but I wasn't here at that point in time. I came later on, and it really was a random conversation that I had with the general manager, Kevin Bowers, at the time, and we went out to lunch. He said, hey, would you be interested in anchoring Sports Report for a season because of some personnel things he was trying to work through? And I was doing a lot of play-by-play like you guys do and thought, oh, all right, sure, you know, why not? We'll do it. And then that was a fun period. I came in and did football and had a blast doing that. And I was a guest on there a couple different times while Andy Lynch was producing the show. And then when I came on, it was one of those things that kind of fit like putting a hand into a glove because I had been doing it for a number of years and had experience in the past doing it. And it was just a really fun environment. It was a very fast-paced, intense environment, which I do like. As many of you know, I'm also a pastor. And you know what? There's not a lot of intense, fast-paced environmental things on a Sunday morning. And if there is, there's probably something going horribly wrong in the church. So we try to avoid those as well. So that's how I got plugged in, and it's really been a blast to do it. And I know everyone sees me or saw me when I was doing the show, but there are dozens of people that come around and make that show what it is. We've got people that run around and they get video, they go out and they shoot highlights, they bring it back in, they put all that stuff together. There's a ton of people working behind the scenes to make sure that it goes off. The Sports Report never really could get off the ground if it was just me. There are a lot of people who bring that back in together. So very, very fortunate to have had that time. And I'll be honest, there's part of me that wishes it was still going, that we were still achieving that level of commitment and covering in high school sports, but I'm grateful and thankful for the time that I was involved with it.
Now, you had the experience behind the desk from being at Kent State, correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't a huge departure for you going from play-by-play to getting behind a desk and anchoring a show.
No. In fact, what was funny is when I first got into this business, I just wanted to do play-by-play. I was not ambitious in any way, shape, or form. Like, I saw guys do it on television. I thought, that's what I want to do with my life. And I did anchoring just as, hey, we need you to do this kind of thing. And that's kind of how I discovered it at Kent State. I auditioned and tried out for that. And, oh, okay, well, this works out. But when I can get away from that, I would like to. And I didn't dislike anchoring. Obviously, I did it for a number of years. But I just preferred being in the booth more. I wanted to be there in the action, calling it and translating it for the audience. That's always what appealed to me a little bit more. But with things were how they were transitioning here at the TV station, there was a point in time where I was needed to pull myself away from that and come back here and be on the desk. And I'd had plenty of experience producing things in the past. And yeah, it wasn't a, oh gosh, I hope I can figure this out on the fly. I'd been doing it for a number of years. I had done it in the past before I came in and did this. So
the old riding a bike analogy.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of getting back in the saddle. The first couple of shows were a little awkward for me, but after a while, it just, yeah, like putting on an old familiar T-shirt.
So I had been here a couple years for WSN. My first year, I did collar work. Second year, they moved me to play-by-play. Third year I was here, I'll never forget, I got a call from Ben, who was our boss at the time, and it was right after a game, and he said, Danny, we want you to come in after your game and sit with Patrick and talk about your game on the Sports Report. And it was like Carson calling you over to the couch, right? I'm going in to work with Patrick on the Sports Report. I'm telling you, I walked in that door that night, and I thought Patrick just sat at the table, and they just filmed him, and he talked about the games. I'm telling the number of people running through this place and the people in the booth, there must have been 12, 15 people and the pizza and all this stuff. And I remember walking in here and thinking, I made it. I made it. And I remember doing that night. And I remember Shine was here that night and you were here. And I got to talk about my game. And I walked out here and I call my wife. I go, I just did the Sports Report. Because, hey, look, everybody watched the Sports Report. It was huge, you know. So, yeah, that was awesome for me that night. And it was a Chris Farley moment. You remember that? That was awesome.
Remember that time that I was on the show and you had me on the show?
You being on here, Dan.
It was like, yeah. But, you know, but it's really cool that the show was able to contribute to those experiences for people, because there's going to be those things that people remember from the show, people that tuned in and watched it every single week. Their kids were featured on the Sports Report, or maybe we were around long enough that they themselves were featured on the Sports Report and they had an opportunity to kind of experience that. And one of the things that I always wanted to do too was I wanted to get people on the show so that you hear voices besides mine talking about the action as it went in there. And actually, we wanted to do, it's one of these things where there were so many more things that I wanted to do with the show. We just didn't have the resources available to us. But we had people that we wanted to go to who were kind of reliable, that we could say, hey, can you come in and do 5-6 minutes on your game, talk a little bit about it, and knew that they could come in and talk about it and do a good job, and they were kind of known quantities, and you guys were all part of that. Mark Shine, of course, was a part of that. Aaron Matthews was a part of that, and I might be missing some names, and I'm not good at keeping
and
track of that.
You still picked Danny.
No, I said Patrick doesn't remember that night. He's like,
he said Ben called him. Let's be clear. I called Danny a couple times too to help participate in a number of things as well, but. I don't do the whole list thing, because the last show that we did, I thanked everybody, and I was very diligent. I got a piece of paper. I'm like, okay, I'm going to write down the names of everybody who was on the show and thank them. I didn't know it was going to be our last show, and wrote them down. And I went through the list. I put it in the prompter, and I thanked everybody, and I felt so good about myself because I always screw that part of it up. Right. I'm trying to thank people. We get off the air, and the one person that I didn't thank was the person that I stare at every single week.
Oh.
The floor director, who was Abby Beck. Totally forgot her name.
Oh.
She was the only one I didn't mention.
Wow.
And I had something of a penchant for slamming the desk when things weren't going according to plan. And after the show, I was like, dang it!
We'll do it live!
I forgot. Yeah. Oh, that clip. That clip is my spirit animal. I don't know that.
I've never seen you mad.
I have. It's happened. Oh, I'll tell you one here in a second. But yeah, Abby, who I've looked at and taken cues from for two or three seasons before that, completely forgot her name. And I was mad. I was like, oh, Abby, I forgot your name. She goes, that's okay. Usually if you say Jennifer, I just kind of answer to that. And I was like, oh, all right, fine. But I won't say the name of the person because they did a terrific job 95% of the time on the show. And there's a lot of pressure.
Oh, I'm sure.
In getting to your game, getting the highlight,
right,
coming back, editing it, putting together a shot sheet, and getting on here in time. There is an immense amount of pressure to do that. And anybody who does that is pretty phenomenal, especially who does it for multiple seasons, especially who does it for someone who's with someone who's kind of breathing down their throat to get things done in time. We had someone who had a game that was of a great deal of interest to the audience and to me as well. I said, hey, look, I want to make sure you have this for A block. So A block is like the very first part of the show. It was typically the games that I edited because I had to be back early because I was going to be on the desk. I want this game to run in the A block because it's a big matchup of the night. Okay, no problem. So he gets back, plenty of time, no issues, everything. We're 5 minutes out to the show, 3 minutes out to the show. Hey, where is that? I'm yelling down the hallway.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Couple minutes. Okay.
We don't have a couple of minutes.
The show open is running. Where is that package? Silence.
Oh no.
Okay, well, you got to skip it because I don't have a choice. So we modify. There was a lot of fixing things on the fly. I don't know if you ever picked that up watching the show. There was a lot of that. All right, so we go to something else. We go to my stuff, and a lot of things we had in there were kind of built in. So we did the top five. That was already done. Prep profile, that was already done. A couple other things. And about halfway through the show, I was going to go back to that thing that I wanted in the A block. So bought this guy another half hour. We get to that point. It is still not done. And I think there's probably footage of this somewhere here in the station where I say this guy's name. You are killing me! What are you doing? We never get the highlight on the show.
Oh, no.
It never happens.
Well, no, the poor kid's probably crying in the bathroom.
Why is Patrick so mean?
Yeah.
So
it was me, you guys.
This is what it's going to be like. I don't want to work here.
I only do the show.
I don't want to say their name. We'll call them Randy.
Wait a minute.
It wasn't Randy. So
it was Mark Coons, wasn't it?
No. Although Mark and I have had a few yelling at each other episodes in the past too.
So what happened?
So I get after the show, and I power down. So you know, Patrick on the set.
Calm down. Third person.
Patrick on the set.
That's not the same Patrick as in real
life.
It's not.
Patrick on the set is way a different animal than Patrick in real life. Sort of. It's like the volume turned up. It's like the difference between, you know,
it's his pro wrestling
Rocky,
gimmick.
Like, it's like Rocky Maivia and The Rock. It's like,
you know, Vince McMahon the character and Vince McMahon the man. They're not
Mr.
the same
McMahon.
Person.
You're fired! So I go to this guy and went, what happened? He says, oh, I know what I did wrong. Without getting into the technical things, he was trying to edit everything off this little tiny memory card, which is a big no-no. If you're trying to edit things off of very small media, you can't do it. You have to load it into the computer. By the way, we've done this 400 times before this, so I don't know what happened. It was one of those like little mistakes, and I just pulled him aside and said, okay, we're not going to do this again, ever, are we? And
you were verbally spanking him.
Did you have a pitchfork in his chest while you're doing it?
And to his credit,
do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I cook pasta with JKB on this set right here.
Start cutting a wrestling promo on this kid in the back.
Do you have any idea who I am? The Rock says he's gonna. No, so. He never did it again, to his credit.
Well, of course not, because that was probably the last night.
Because he left at 11:06, and no.
Never to be seen again.
Patrick burned down his brother-in-law's tractor dealership.
And that's how Steven Spielberg got started.
And that's why Danny's doing play-by-play now.
But it was a very... And I will tell you that story is relatively tame in comparison to some other ones that I don't know or necessarily took it was a part of personally, but I know that there have been a lot of shouting matches over the years. Mark Kuntz and I got into a shouting match. This was years ago. This was before I was even an anchor. I came back, was trying to edit something, and the way they had everything set up wasn't that efficient. There were people that were having to overlap using computers.
Oh, yeah.
That just wasn't going to work out. Fortunately, by the time I was running it, everyone kind of had their own PC. It worked out with that one exception. But most every time it worked out. And I was assigned Mark's computer. So I'm editing my stuff and he's pacing, trying to, you know, it's like, hey, I need my computer. It's like, okay, man, I'm getting this done. It'll be done here pretty soon. And he starts, hey, man, I need that computer. And I stand up and go, well, I'm editing on it right now. You have to wait. Mark didn't take too kindly to that. And let me just say that we finished this in the parking lot.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Good. There was no violence.
I need some good from new Mark Kuntz fodder when I see him.
Yeah. But what was funny is that Mark and I actually developed a better relationship after that.
It happens a lot.
Kind of.
Yeah, when you draw blood, that's what happens. Now you guys are blood brothers.
And a lot of it was because, like, look, we both care about the product. We both had a vested interest in making sure that we were putting our best foot forward. So we both kind of saw ourselves on the same side after that.
And then you both went after that kid that messed up the A block. Yeah. You combined forces.
Mega powers combined.
Do you know what a doomsday device is, kids? That's what we...
They called it Kuntz and Kamler, throw down on the playground, too.
That's what we executed.
It's like the movie Step Brothers at the end.
Yeah. Kuntz held him up, and I took off off the top rope. And
do you miss it, Patrick? Because it was... I mean, like I said, Miles
sounds like he misses it, right?
No. We get
such great memories so far.
We still get it all the time. People after all the games, people, mm-hmm. Hey, are they ever going to do that again? And they're like, look, I don't make those calls, but it was such an iconic program. It really was. Yeah. I mean, we all watched it.
Yeah, I do. I do miss it sometimes. I'm someone who's always been very okay. Once we're done with this, I'm on to other things, and I don't look in the rearview mirror very often. Sometimes it's to my detriment, but I've always been kind of wired that way. Once we're done with this thing, it's time to move on to the next thing. And with Sports Report, it was a little different because there was a period of time where, well, maybe we were going to restart it. Like very shortly after the decision came down, like, well, we're going to restart it because we kind of did this fast, and it was a little short-sighted in my view to cancel the show when we did and how that whole situation was handled. But once it was handled, and once we saw we weren't going to bring it back, and number two, it's kind of like striking a set on a show. It's like once the set's been torn down, we're done. And we had people that had moved on that we weren't going to get back. And there were roles that had been pretty entrenched. Like we had someone who'd been part of our team from the beginning of the show.
Oh, wow.
She wasn't coming back. So it then turned into, well, okay, let's say we snap our fingers and say, hey, we're going to start it again in 2 months. Would we get people to get up and going? Maybe. but also would we get the advertisers back? Would we get all these other things that we needed to have back in order to do the show? So there are a lot of those things to consider. And in a vacuum, sure, you know, I would absolutely jump on and do it again and miss it to that extent, but also, hey, you know, moving on.
Kramer got the Merv Griffin set out of the dumpster, so it's possible. We can resurrect
new
it.
New edgier format.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I like
that. Yeah. Well, the set is still there. Like, it's still intact. I was being metaphorical, Daniel, when I was saying that.
Those aren't orange chairs from the
70s. I got the dad call with proper name.
Now, you mentioned something earlier that there were some things that you wanted to do with the show but never really got to. What are some of those things that were in Patrick's mind?
Live studio audience.
Oh, that would be cool.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that.
Wow.
We weren't going for that specifically, but mm-hmm. we had one of the salespeople here who just decided they're going to sit and watch the show from here. I'm like, oh, okay. So he grabbed one of the chairs there in the studio and sat down. I'm pointing like this is TV. Grabbed one of the chairs here in the studio, and he just sat and watched it, and he just watched what I do at the set, people running back and forth, me yelling at people to get things in, all this other kind of stuff. And at the end of it, he said, well, that was the most fun that I've had in a long time watching a show. He's like, you guys should broadcast this, like this behind-the-scenes aspect of it, because this was a lot of fun. This was an amazing thing to put together. I don't know how you do it on a weekly basis. Which was kind of cool, and we thought, you know, I don't know that that could have gone anywhere, but it would have been kind of fun to have that. The things that we always wanted to do, is I wanted to add the capability of doing a live report from the game after the game.
Very nice.
So because of how some of the timing was, one of the things that I wanted to implement, even if it was live to tape, you know, we could do something like, Coldwater Marion Locals wrapped up. Danny Holbrook, Miles Holiday are here with it. Guys, you know, Marion Local with a win tonight. Tell me about the game. And either we do it live because of how the timing worked, or we'd record that ahead of time and then do that. We were able to do that a couple times on the show, but the infrastructure, the timing, mostly the timing, just wasn't there consistently to be able to do that. So having those live look-ins, I thought, would have added a lot to the show. Those would have been fun to do. Wanting to incorporate more kind of interview segments and breaking up some of the highlight portions of it up a little bit more. Doing some things that also cater to an online audience. Something where, hey, extended highlights are on our YouTube page. Something along those lines. So that was something that...
Because you had footage, right?
Yeah.
You always had extra footage.
Yeah, yeah. We always had extra footage. We always had more than we ever showed people. Go online. Go to our WOSN YouTube page or WTOW YouTube page and check out the stuff that you didn't see in Sports Report. Or we do something separate for like the online audience. You know, it's kind of a way to bring them in and increase the audience there. So there were a lot of those things. And a lot of it, again, infrastructure was missing. Time was missing. The timing of a lot of stuff just kind of prevented a lot of that stuff from doing it. And there were a lot of things where we just needed, you know, one more person. Like, we just needed, like, a co-anchor or something like that. Someone to kind of come alongside me and help out with some of those things. And that was just one of those things that never materialized long term. I had co-anchors for a little bit, but it was just one of those things that it didn't happen. It's like, man, this would have been great if we were able to pull this off, but we didn't. And that's the way it goes sometimes.
All right, guys, let's get to our high school games of the week and preview each and every one of those. Patrick, thank you so much. You're going to stick around for the whole show. I'm hoping
you
are.
Out.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Can I just mention one thing real quick? Ever since he said Kent State, it's been bothering me to say this.
Oh, no.
Kent State. Can't read, can't write, Kent State.
Oh. See, he did that like in a golden flash minute.
Oh. Did you get that? Are you glad you got that out of your system?
Yeah, that's been...
That's you
been,
feel that's better? Been,
that's you been, know that's what been, he did to Mark Coons? Stick been, around, bud. all right, guys.
I know that's the reason why...
I'm suddenly the violent one here.
I know that's the reason why Mark's bald now. I know he pulled all his hair out working here, but...
All right, guys. Game one. Van Wert at Ottawa Glandorf. Randy Roberts, Miles Holiday on the call. Guys, Van Wert really reeling right now. They've lost five in a row. Ottawa Glandorf off a rough start at the beginning of the year. They're 4-3, guys. They've won three of their last five games. Miles, how you see this one stacking up?
Randy, this will be, what, our third time that we've seen
Saw the first two games of the year with OG, and it was we saw the opening game with OG and Kenton.
Liberty Benton, excuse me.
And we walked out of the stadium and we looked at each other and we're like,
oof.
You know, because Coach Schneider needed two wins for 200.
Yes.
And we looked at each other and we go, it might be another year until he gets it. And then we go back the next week and they win and we're like, well, what on earth happened?
Yeah, they beat Kenton that week. Yeah. And we're a little surprised.
Yeah. And then so, you know, last week, the big win against Bath, when you talked about teams prepared to play in that weather. I don't know if there's anyone better than Ottawa Glandorf and what they, you know, what they want to do. And so this one might get ugly.
I remember after the first week or so, you and I talking, we're like, Coach Schreiner's a really good coach. What's going on over there, you know? And we couldn't figure it out. Man, they've really righted the wrongs, haven't they?
Well, you got to look at this one and say, Randy kind of intimated at it, running the football, ground and pound that OG likes to do. Bad news, Van Wert. You give up almost 300 yards per game. In fact, they gave up 308 last week. Bad formula there for Van Wert in this football game. Now, if they do have a shot, Briston Weiss, see what he did last week?
I did.
207 yards rushing.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be pretty good again. They turned the ball over too much. Minus 11 for Van Wert on the year. I really think OG has a huge advantage.
Briston Weiss.
But special pregame, though, right? They got the tailgate going on.
That's right. You and I get to do the tailgate.
We get to do some pregame tailgating.
Yeah. And Van Wert's one of those teams that you just see them play and you just think, oh, so close.
Yeah.
There's a lot of near misses in their execution and their offense. I called one of their games a few weeks ago when they played WAPOC, and it was really one of those scenarios where you felt like, man, if they were just a hair quicker here, if they were just a step better here, they just didn't miss these connections, the complexion of that game against WAPOC would have been different. WAPOC still would have won the game because top to bottom, they're just better than Van Wert this year. But I think that's where Van Wert is really struggling, and I think when you're missing those pieces and when you haven't brought that stuff together yet, and Coach Keith Recker is a phenomenal coach, a state champion winning coach. So it's just taking time to bring those things together. Van Wert's going to struggle to find wins the rest of the season. Whereas OG, I think, has settled into that middle of the WBL tier that I think maybe a lot
going
of us saw
the
them there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we'll build upon that in the future. But I think OG probably got a pretty good lock at finishing. I mean, they've got two more winnable games. I think 5-5 is not out of the reach for OG this year.
I pulled up. I wanted to make the same point Patrick just did, but you're home with Salina, which have we all seen Salina?
Right.
That's a winnable game.
Yeah.
Then
nice
you're
job.
At Shawnee.
That's a winnable game.
And then you're at Defiance, and Defiance is good, but I've spent some time working at Defiance. Defiance OG is one of those weird rivalry wild card game.
Yep.
One team can be 8-1. One team can be 1-8. I mean, we almost saw that last year.
We did.
And you never know what'll happen. So, what this win against Bath did for OG last week might just springboard them. And there's a possibility they could run the table the second half of the season.
Briston Weiss has a week where he goes 207 on the ground. And, by the way, Trenton Brazen went for 308. You know,
so right, you'd be
unbelievable.
About that.
Right. That's, I mean, right. That, those numbers are mind-boggling, 207 yards out of one kid.
And you look at that game last week, OG and Bath, and on paper you're like, okay, well, we'll find out who Bath is. And I don't know if we did. But I don't think we're who we.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher.
Thought we were. Yeah, because I think you looked at that and went, okay, this is an opportunity for Bath to kind of, all right, this is for real. We're taking our next steps. We're going to be, because up until as recently as I think week four, Bath was in the WBL championship race.
They were,
which usually they're out of it after week one. So this was improvement for them regardless. But seeing OG lay a 26 burger on them, just like, oh,
I,
well.
I,
OG might be a little better, and maybe Bath is not quite as good as we thought they were.
You can make an argument that the weather affected Bath more than anybody in the area, right?
Sure.
They have to outscore people. They struggle defensively. And OG, you know, that was their type of football game. Let's just run the ball, and we're going to play good defense right. against a team that can't throw. Randy and I have seen Bath a couple times, highly explosive. But wet football is a different animal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, defense is one of those things you do to give some of your offensive guys a break. Like, all right, we'll play it for a couple plays. Okay, yeah. All right. Oh, offense. All right, let's send our best 11 out there.
All right, guys, game two. Mark Schein and Jerry Snodgrass will be on the call for this one. Coldwater goes to Delphi St. John's. Coldwater is the beast. I've said it before. If Marion Local were not in existence, Coldwater would be the king of the MAC right now over the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Look, they're 6-0. Delphi St. John's is 2-4. Delphi St. John's defensively, they've had games where they've given up 71 points, 54 points, and 34 points. This is not a good week to be playing Coldwater. What's
is
your
there,
thoughts?
Is yeah. there a good week
to play? No, I was going to say, well, if you're Marion Local.
Yeah, if you're Marion Local, there is, yeah.
You're not afraid, yeah.
Yeah. So Delphi St. John's also, Drew Boggs, their quarterback, he left last week against Anna through the middle of the first half. Don't know if he'll be back. Christian Young, the sophomore that came in and played quarterback, has a nice future, not ready to be a full-time varsity starting quarterback yet, but what sophomore is, right? To make it, things even worse, not only is Boggs out, but T.J. Wirtz, their tremendous running back, he did not play. And then Logan Duncan left the game also. So those are three really key players for Delphi St. John's. If I'm Todd Schulte, I'm saying, guys, we're going to let you sit out this week also so you're healthy for the end of the season, because even if they do play, they're not beating Coldwater on that day. Coldwater's just going to keep rolling on this one. It is a great Coldwater team. Pat Cotter, they can hand it to him all day long, and they're going to beat Delphi St. John's.
I'll ask you this, Randy. Is this the year Coldwater gets over the hump?
You know,
they're really good.
It kind of looks that way. Their defense looks like might not be the big dominating defense that we've seen before. And it seems like, and we saw it a couple years ago, injuries always seem to strike them at the absolute worst time.
Yeah, Marcel Blasen game last year.
Yeah. And so you never know with them. But, yeah,
and I say over the hump. Look, beating Marion that game last week, Marion Local for Sales, we were all excited talking about it last week on the podcast. Oh, it's going to be a great game. It's 48-0.
That was a halftime score that when you looked at your phone, and whoa, what in the world?
Yeah.
Well, I remember the beginning of the year, Marion Local played that team in Indiana that no one knew anything about. And Mark Schein was talking to you guys and like, well, we just don't know what we're going to get. They're this highly ranked 6A and 42-6 at the half or whatever. Yeah. And
Danny, I do have a way that St. John's might be able to stay in this football game.
I was going to ask Patrick what he thought, if there was any chance they could, but if you got
go
away.
Ahead. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah. So Delphi is being inundated with gnats. I don't know if you know this. You get all the gnats, you get them on the field, you pile them up, you put them in front of that Coldwater offense, and they're just bugging them. That's it. I did the game last week over there, Delphi St. John's and Anna with Kelsey Beimer. Folks, I'm telling you, the amount of gnats that are over there right now, if you're going to the game, you buy as much bug spray as you can get, man. It's unbelievable.
You're saying St. John's has got a shot.
They can bug them.
Wow.
Wow, 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 wow.
So Egyptian plague aside.
But how about locusts? Maybe
Saint
so.
John. Oh, so all the firstborn are dead. All right. Well, that's dark. Look,
a lot of us don't remember. It hasn't been that long ago that St. John's actually put up a pretty stout effort against Coldwater. Coldwater only beat this team by 7 points a couple of years ago. And again, I know that's enough time. It's different kids. It's a different squad. And I recognize that. But it's very easy for us to just look at Coldwater and go, well, they've just rolled everybody for a decade. And why is this going to be any different? And the odds are that this is probably going to be another blowout win. But St. John's, for them, it's going to come down to, can they match up at all with this team? In high school sports, it always comes down to, can I physically match up with these guys? Can I not make mistakes? And in this case of St. John's, I don't know if they match up that well. They matched up really well against, say, Lima Central Catholic, who they only lost 2 by 1 point. But you look at the rest of the Blue Jays' record,
They beat Fort Recovery, who's had their own struggles. But what's a similar opponent to Coldwater? Probably Marion Local.
Sure.
How did they do? Well, they lost 71-0. So don't be surprised if this one gets out of hand pretty early on behalf of Coldwater.
Completely agree. Game three. Patrick, you and Dar Nevergall will be on the call for this one. Pandora Gilboa at Liberty Benton. Both of these squads are undefeated in the BVC. We know what Liberty Benton can do offensively. They've got some D1 talent on the boundaries. Mm-hmm. And Seth Alker, he's such a fantastic player. Pandora Gilboa, you know, they're doing okay from where they started. Really got beat up a lot there by Columbus Grove in the home opener. You and I had that game, but have bounced back nicely.
Well, everybody looks bad against Grove, though,
right? I know,
right? You and I had that game on 93 on the Fan. What a job Matt Hershey has done, that 0-2 start. And that's coaching, right? Because that week one, Danny, we saw them, they threw the ball all around the field, right? They threw way too much at Corey Gerton, the quarterback that was returning. Well, they've changed their formula. You look at last week, Andrew Miller, the running back, who you and I absolutely loved.
I love Andrew Miller.
In week one, except for...
He's a physical player.
He's really a real physical player, yeah. But they didn't give the ball to him until the second half that day, right? Well, that's not the case anymore. 23 carries, 145 yards last week against Elmwood, and then Ben Burkholder, they're arguably their second toughest kid, right? 3 catches for 70 yards.
Their backfield's solid. It's really solid.
It's very solid. I think if those two guys touch the ball 35 to 40 times, that's how they stay in this football game, because Liberty Benton's very explosive. Randy, I think you'd agree this has to be a short possession type football game for them to win.
Yeah, if I'm Pandora Gilboa, who put this schedule together? Grove and Bluffton? Your first two games of the year, like what are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand that you're going to Ric Flair it, and to be the best, you got to beat the best. But
woo!
There we go. Yeah. But that is
nice.
That's, yeah. I was going to chop you.
Patrick,
and then divorce you for the third time.
Patrick, you're on the call for this one. Have you seen either of these two teams play this year? Miles and I got the chance to see Pandora play week one, and I know that Randy and he have seen Liberty Benton play.
No, I haven't seen either of these teams play yet. Obviously, I've heard a lot of good things, and I think I've seen a little bit from different broadcasts. And for Pandora Gilboa, this is going to be one of these show it games. You know, one of the things that the Rockets have, what I've noticed over the last couple of years, and you could probably say this about any football team, but it seems like the injury bug hits Pandora Gilboa pretty hard, and this is about the time of year that it hits them. Because I was actually working with the team a couple of years ago, and they were literally the walking wounded heading into a game. I think it was against Liberty Benton, because I've been around this time. And they felt really good about their chances, but they just didn't have the manpower to match up with Liberty Benton. And I think, I don't know about the injuries so much this year, I think PG comes in relatively healthy, as healthy as anyone is after 6 weeks of playing football. But Liberty Benton just has a lot of weapons. Their quarterback is the only one of two quarterbacks in the BVC that's over 1,000 yards passing, in Trevin Lieb. So I think it's going to be a hard uphill battle for PG. An opportunity, though, for them to make a statement in the BVC. I don't know if they will. I like Liberty Benton in this game. I'm going to call it down the middle, of course, because I'm not really rooting for anybody. But I have to agree with you. I mean, starting off with Grove and with Bluffton. And, again, you don't really know how tough that game's going to be until you look back on it. But to look at that and go, oh, well, you only lost – you only lost 77-7 combined against those two teams. So I don't know what that says about you.
It's a mindset thing, though, right? Because, you know, Miles has coached the sport for who knows how long. You do that the first two. If you got 40 kids playing, after those two games, how many are you going to have back?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have all 40.
You just want to survive them. Right?
Yeah, you're not going to. Yeah. So how many did you lose, you know, mentally and physically, you know, how many are with it? So it's.
But don't forget, PG had beaten Columbus Grove the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Randy, how does Pandora Gilboa stop Seth Alkert, the great receiver that's going to your beloved UT Rockets? Do they have any shot of doing that?
They're going to play one guy on top of another. So they're going to make like a mega defensive back. Yeah. And there we go. So,
yeah, that's the thing, right? If this is a 30-plus point game, you got to like Liberty Benton's chances.
Well, and when you have a player like that, who who's clearly a Division I standout, or you know, a kid that's going to play in the MAC, he's going to be head and shoulders usually against
the college MAC. It's not like
the
Cold Water's going to cover.
Yeah,
there's some teams that would beat the other MAC in that MAC.
You know, you just you do the best.
I was going to say it, and Patrick beat me to it.
You do the best of not letting him beat you. So you know, he is clearly their best player.
Akron too.
Don't want to just state that Liberty Benton is just an offensive team. Two tremendous linebackers in Zach Elker and Kohler, and the defensive lineman who we saw play against Ottawa Glandorf. Is it Barbera or Barbara?
Barbara.
Barbara.
Yeah.
He was outstanding.
Yeah, couldn't stop making Hanna-Barbera jokes.
Yeah. And the Eagles, yabba-dabba-doo.
That might have come up once or twice.
Okay. Well, let me put my feet down and put the brakes on this.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
wow. Just threw it past all
bam!
Of them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Bam. There are so many weapons that Liberty Benton can throw at you, and so many different guys that are capable of scoring, and that's not something that you have a lot of at this level, and that's something that Pandora Gilboa is going to have to adjust to. Can they? I don't know. We'll see what happens when Friday hits, but they just have that talent, and the other guys that are scoring points. You got the Elkerts. Garrett Nealis is in the top 10 in scoring in the BBC. That's three Liberty Benton guys that can put the ball in the end zone, and that's going to be a lot to handle. So the Rockets have their hands full, no doubt, coming up on Friday.
Take nothing away from Pandora Gilboa, but the Liberty Benton is the type of team that historically PG has struggled against.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Game 4, guys, myself and the great one, Darren Gilbert, will be on the call Friday night. Toledo Rogers at Lima Senior. Guys, I know you know what I'm talking about. Lima Senior right now is putting up, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, they are putting up historical numbers. Janias Hall is the number one quarterback on Max Prep in yardage right now, in the country. Guys, listen to these stats last week. Janias Hall was 21 of 34, 472 yards, 8 touchdowns. Guys, do you remember what the weather conditions were last Friday night were? They were horrid, and he threw for
someone build a dome?
Right. Boog Wilson, 5 receptions, 165 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Keon Smith's 3 receptions, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Khalil Wash, 6 receptions, 111 yards, 2 touchdowns. Guys, it's supposed to be 75 and sunny Friday night.
Bad news for Rodgers.
Really bad news for Rodgers.
Yeah, they want all that rain they can get. 56 points in that storm and wind that we had last week. Highly impressive. We have Bill Lawrence on the podcast. Yes. We've had him on the radio show, and he just flat out said, we don't let weather bother us. Well, if it's that easy, just say it. It certainly worked for them.
I didn't realize it's all it took.
I have never talked to a high school football coach that was more matter-of-factly than Coach Lawrence from Lima Senior. He looked at Miles and I, and he told us, he said, yeah, we soak the footballs. We practice in the rain. We're not changing how we do things. Our goal every Friday night is 70. And he goes, I'm not putting up 70 to embarrass you. That's just our goal. And I asked him, the week before they had scored like 53, and I said, were you upset? And he goes, I wasn't happy. I'm just like, wow. But he did explain some of the things that they're working on. I mean, they are going after perfection, guys. This team is loaded. They really are.
This is a 2-4 Rogers team. Don't forget, they Elida had beaten them in week one. I was starting to believe a little bit about Rogers. I saw them on some TV when they played Woodward, but then I realized, you know, Woodward's making a lot of people look really good. They scored 46 points against Toledo Waite, 58 of their own against Woodward. But then they lost a Toledo start 34-14. So I think it's going to be a really tough ask for Rogers to go to Lima Senior and get a win.
Yeah, especially when start looks like probably the second best team behind Senior in the City League. And Miles,
and there's a big drop off.
Yeah, oh, there is. Yeah, and Miles will remember this. Is the two guys closest to Toledo we'll talk for a minute. Remember when Woodward got the win last year and everyone started to believe they turned the corner and blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. Blah.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that
corner curved a lot.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did. Yeah.
Christian Coulard's not walking through that door.
But by golly, they all have nice stadiums now. So
blue turf.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing with Lima Senior is, look, you look at the remaining schedule that they have in the Toledo City League, and this team's probably going to finish 10-0 unless something happens drastically. Lima Senior is going to have a 10-0 perfect season, and we're still not going to know if they're that good of a football team.
Go ahead. We do it every week when we do our Power Five. No one at this table has ever put them in their top five. They keep them on the outside because we all have those questions.
And they're not mine.
Right. Yep. We all have those questions. That is a great point that we think – I said it earlier. They're loaded, but are they loaded against Massillon, Washington? Are they loaded against St. Ignatius? Are they loaded against, you know, Elder? There's a lot of what ifs about this team.
Yeah, and again, the competition. You know, we were just banging on PG here earlier for facing a couple of 6-0 teams to start off the season. The Toledo City League is and wasn't ever going to present a lot of issues for Lima Senior. Their toughest competition was probably going to be in the Finley game, and I think that was the closest game I think that Lima Senior's had this year. I think it was a 4-point win for the Spartans.
Without Ryan Montgomery.
Yeah, without Ryan Montgomery. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Lima's going to have a perfect season. I don't know when the last time was they had a perfect season. And they're probably going to get a home game. They'll face whoever at Lima Stadium. And we still won't know if they're that good of a football team. Maybe even after that. I mean, if they're playing, you know, Piqua right now has the 16 seed in that region. So Piqua's 2-4 right now. I would say Piqua is probably a win for Lima Senior.
No, I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, so they have Fantastic 50 right now has Lima Senior projected a 6 seed.
That's where they are now.
Yeah, that's where they have them behind 3 teams projected to finish 8-2.
Who are those teams, Randy?
The 8-2 teams, you'd have Mount Healthy, Harrison, and Kingsmill Kings.
All in the Cincinnati area, right?
Yeah, because that's where senior goes south, right? They're in, Division 2, Region 8. So you'd be looking at, let me scroll down, a Troy, a Trotwood Madison, a Weathrow in the opening round.
And guys, let's make it real clear. We're not knocking on Lima Senior. This is more of an indictment on the Toledo League, right?
And this is something as someone, again, my Miles and I, just because of the nature of where we live, where we've grown up, what, you know, where we covered. This was more when this was made for, you know, Senior needed to go somewhere. Someone will have to explain to me why they can't end up in the WBL.
We talk about that all the time.
I'll never understand. That's just my lack of knowledge of the WBL. But this was the Toledo public, bless their hearts, they try hard as they might. Like their basketball 30 years ago.
Ooh, it was really good.
Some of the best you'll see around.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate it won't be like that anymore, and the what happened with the private schools and their, you know, the whole COVID thing, the private schools get to play, the public schools don't, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Believe what you will about it, but this was more of the City League needed someone to elevate their level of play. And I know they won't do it, you know, Senior won't do it across the board for all the sports, but it's going to help football. But yeah, it's going to be, you know, we see that the NWOAL this year with Liberty Center. Who knows? Liberty Center is going to beat every team in the league by 60 points. Do we know if they're good?
Yeah. Right. It's another question, right? You won't know until they get to the
playoffs. Yeah, and then so it's the same thing with Senior. Yeah, we're going to take nothing. I mean, not knocking Senior. I listened to Bill Lawrence with you guys, and he's excited that they're going to go play. They're going to go win.
They said
they want to go deep.
Yeah, and so I just – it's one of those things. Yeah, we just don't know.
Yeah, make no mistake. I'm not knocking Lima Senior at all. In fact, it's better for the area in general when Lima Senior is good at football because nobody likes – a black hole in the middle of Allen County where all football goes to die.
Yeah.
And Lima Senior's had some pretty rough seasons over the last 10 or so. And now they're having some success, and now they're having a good season, and we are all for it. The only question that we're bringing up is, once it gets to the postseason, what kind of team are they going to be? And that question will be answered soon enough. But again, it's measured optimism on this side of the table, and I think all around the table. It's like, okay, the Spartans, they're going to put together a great season, probably ending up at a 6 seed, at least has a projection. They'll get a home game. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
They're going to dominate the TCAL forever, and they'll finally lose. Yes. But it'll be one of those, after 35 consecutive wins in the TCAL.
And it's going to be, we're going to need weather like we had last Friday. There's... You know, I know Rodgers has made their runs for a while, but that was, you know, under Rick Rios in the early 2000s.
Well, know this.
Start looked like they turned the corner, and then they kind of fell off the map.
And you're right. They are going to dominate that league for a long time. We talked to Coach Lawrence the other day, and he talked about the JV Spartans are undefeated, the freshmen are undefeated, and the junior highs are undefeated. So, you know.
Yeah, they're going to take the TCAL and never give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, and I
don't. Quite honestly, they should. Nobody has that type of enrollment in the TCAL like them.
Guys, game five, Evan Skilleter and Dave Bowen, Bluffton at Crestview. That crafty Nick Fraley, he put a Bluffton Pirate and Evan Skilleter and a Crestview Knight, Dave Bowen, in the booth together. Mayhem ensues.
Can I just watch the announcer cam of the two of them going at it for
breaking
an hour?
Breaking news, right? Both of them have agreed to be in the mascot outfit while they broadcast this one. So that's going to be a lot of fun,
nice.
Isn't it?
I can't wait to see Evan Skilleter with a swashbuckling pirate hat. Arr, matey. Guys, look, everybody knows Bluffton and Columbus Grove, Northwest Conference. It's a collision course. Crestview, it's at Crestview, and Crestview, a good program, having a down year this year, but there's always a game or two every year where Crestview surprises you. Is this the week, Miles?
Well, Braxton Leith is back, so they got a shot, and you know everybody still talks about Bryson Penix being out. Is he going to play this week for Crestview? But Huxley Gross has done a nice job. 6 touchdowns and only 1 interception. So I would say they have an opportunity, Danny. However, watch out. Bluffton is just so fast, aren't they? We talk all about Trenton Barraza and what a great player he is. Boy, this league is just loaded. How about Landon Worcester? He could be the player of the league again,
He's
right?
Fantastic.
Yeah, 8.5 yards per carry. They only give it to him 28 times. Hey, Bluffton, give it to him a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
Clocks in second half. He's not needed.
He doesn't get to play the third and fourth quarter ever. Any chance, Randy, that
unfortunately. I wish I could.
Patrick, you got a better argument than that.
I was trying. I'm trying to formulate one, and God bless it.
I love your honesty, though.
We have a lot of people listen from Crestview.
The thing is, like, Diamond Dave's going to hear this, and I know I'm going to get a text from him when he listens, going, I'll never say it publicly, but you're right.
Save that soundbite.
Wait. Is your Dave Bowen impression basically Eeyore?
Pretty much.
A Crestview Eeyore night?
Winnie the Pooh. Well, oh, bother.
So it's actually it's the old man we saw at the Crestview game. It's not really Dave Bowen. It's Miles' biggest fan.
Crestview might come in with a lot of emotion, and if there's a team that's ready for a letdown, maybe Bluffton after a huge win over LCC last week, right?
No.
Okay. I'm making a case, Dave.
I've seen plenty of games involving Crestview that I thought were going to go one way or be a blowout, whether it was on Crestview's side or against Crestview, that ended up being a lot tighter than maybe they were supposed to be. That's not to say that this one is going to be one of those situations, but for both these teams, this is kind of a playoff preview type of matchup because both these teams are in Region 22. They're both in kind of the area where they could possibly face each other, although if it would be a playoff game, it would be in Bluffton. And that might add a little bit something to it, along with the just it's in conference, it's an NWC game. But it really is one of those where Bluffton hasn't really demonstrated that there's a lot of chinks in the armor that Crestview has the ability to exploit. That's kind of what it comes down to in this one. And Crestview might be able to pull off a couple plays, but I think it's just too much pirate too often. And this is going to be, I don't say an easy Bluffton win, but I think Bluffton's going to move to 7-0 after this game.
Gonna pillage them.
By the way, it's Grove after Bluffton for Crestview, too.
Oh, all right. They got the reverse PG schedule. Yeah.
Guys,
Northwest Conference Commissioner, what are you thinking?
Game 6, gentlemen. Delphus Jefferson at LCC. Nate Garlock, Kelsey Beimer on the call for this one. Look, LCC had high hopes going up to Bluffton last week. We had talked to Carson Parker the week before, him and his dad, and they were excited about that game. Now, unfortunately, Matthew Quatman did not play. Very limited. They really got beat up, 35-0. This is a good bounce back week for them. Delphus Jefferson, really down year. So I like the birds in this one, Miles.
Yeah, if you're Scott Pulte, why even play Quatman in this one, right?
Right.
Just let him sit out again.
You want to get him healthy because when he's healthy, he's fantastic.
Let Brady Parker and Michael Quatman and Flores take care of the offensive firepower because I think, you know, you score 2 touchdowns, you're probably going to win this football game. This is a Jefferson team that really struggles to score the football. Danny, their top 3 rushers have a total of 171 yards rushing. I think Barraza had that in the first half last week.
He had that on 2 carries.
Yeah. So it is a Delphus Jefferson team. They're working hard, but, boy, there's just not a lot there right now.
Yeah.
I would never tell Scott Palti how to coach his football team. Of course, he knows way more about it than I do. But you have an opportunity, and I think a golden opportunity, to rest Quatman and develop some of your other playmakers. And that's something that I've noticed from LCC over the last few years is they've usually got pretty solid quarterback play, and then they've got one or two skill guys that end up doing most of the damage. And I've thought numerous times, man, if LCC just had another guy they could go to, whether it was a slot receiver or some other playmaker that they could develop, some of these games that have been close losses for them, particularly early in the season, because they've had some losing streaks in the middle of the season, I don't think those would have been as bad. Maybe they could have turned some of those into wins. So I think there's an opportunity here, again, to get Myron Flores maybe more involved in the offense, to get the other Quatman a little bit more used to being a viable target out there. I know he's been used somewhat, but usually as a decoy more often than not. So taking that opportunity against a Jefferson team that is down, that's probably, this is a game that's going to go running clock fairly early. That would be my guess, or by the beginning of the second half. And take that opportunity, because you've got Spencerville and then you've got Grove. So your schedule is not going to get a ton easier after this game. So take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah, and there's a lot of young guys that play for LCC. Right? Forgive me,
I don't know. Really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of young guys they're trying to develop at LCC. So it's good opportunity, and go a little bit deeper in the roster. And it's one of those things that if you put together a run, and we've seen it. I think we've all sat here and talked about it. You never know who you're going to need week 13, 14, 15, and so. These are the types of games that you kind of build some confidence and get some reps, because reps in a game are completely different, right, than practice reps. And this will be a good opportunity for LCC.
Guys, there was a lot of complaining last week about the weather. There was a lot of opinions about games. Should they have been moved? What are your thoughts on bad weather games? Should they be moved? Patrick, we'll start with you since you're taking a drink. And
I'm ready. Move to what? To a day that doesn't have weather? Is there a day specifically that never has weather? Because I'd like to know what day that is.
Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
to be able to do that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask you.
Otherwise, hey, this is part of being turned up.
Is this the A block?
This is the A block. Where's my story?
This is my favorite Patrick.
It's a lot of people's favorite Patrick.
He's hangry.
Just none that answer to me. It's like, Patrick, can you tone down a little bit, please?
Look, alluding to what I talked about earlier, there is a small period of time where you can be in bad conditions. You can be playing a sport that you love, or at least being forced to love by your parents. I don't know what your situation is.
Dad made me play.
That's my favorite podcast line.
So the Holbrook kids are in here, aren't they?
You have this very limited time to where you can do this. So embrace it. I still have this image of I called Allen East game a couple years ago, and Keaton Lehman, who was a star wide receiver for them, takes the this it was in Bell Fountain, and this was the day when apparently no one in Bell Fountain knew how to clear snow off a field, so they just played in the snow. And he breaks away from the defense, does a somersault into the end zone, and then does a snow angel right there as he's celebrating a touchdown. Just pure
joy. Yeah.
Playing a football game.
That was probably flagged.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was flagged. Yeah.
I need to call Jim Epperly back. So Jim, how do you flag that?
So the official didn't enjoy it, but everyone else
did. Right.
Pretty much. You signed your kid up to play a sport outdoors in Ohio in October and November.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what you were getting yourself into when you signed up for this. If there's lightning and thunder, yeah, sure, don't play in that, okay? I understand that. If it's going to rain, we have things called weather forecasts. There was a hurricane that came through. This didn't take anyone by surprise. Prepare accordingly, or don't go to the game, or don't cry about it.
Break out your galoshes. Yeah,
Patrick Campbell, play in hurricanes. Yeah, that's all.
We're talking about it on the radio.
It was a low-level system by the time it got here. It was not a hurricane. I've lived through three hurricanes. I know what a hurricane, and sir, you are no hurricane.
Patrick Campbell v. Jim Cantore.
Again, authorities are saying, don't go out in this.
I don't disagree with you, Patrick.
Are saying don't go out in it, then they wouldn't have had football games.
Yeah.
As simple as that. They didn't say that. You could play football.
That's just my
so go play
favorite
football.
When they put the weather person out in it, right?
Yeah.
And like, authorities are saying, don't go out. Yeah. Don't be out here like me.
I'll say this, and Miles and I get into this discussion all the time about dome stadiums and kind of that
stuff. Danny's pro-dome, by the way.
Pro-dome. Now, but for the pros, obviously you can't have it in high school. But I agree.
Some tell that to Rossford.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh. I've seen that facility. But
hey, if you want to put a dome up, put a dome up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Amazon kind of
helped. Yeah, I'll say this. The only time I could see it affecting is lightning, right? I mean, that's
sure.
it.
Yeah,
you know, put kids out there if we're going to go through a 2-hour lightning storm. But you know,
right.
thunder, rain, wind, you got to play football. Mm-hmm. That's what you know. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I know that there are some strong opinions by some people about that. You know, we don't understand. I get it, but the only thing I can see is lightning, right?
Well, we heard a lot of athletic directors complain about it because what it do to their attendance,
right?
Right, so maybe move it to
that.
But you know, the one AD said they lost out on $10,000 to $11,000 because their gate receipt was so low.
But you saw the weather Friday, Saturday, and Sunday; it never changed. When are you going to play that?
Well, some schools down south, if they see the weather that's going to be bad, they'll move it to a Thursday instead of a Friday. So you beat the weather by playing a day earlier.
That's true.
Yeah, but to me, it's the softness of America, right? We're becoming so soft. The one opportunity that you have to show that you're mentally tough and physically tough, you're going to take it away from a kid because it's going to rain and people don't like getting wet. The best games I ever played in high school, the ones that are most memorable, playing in the elements, playing with your buddies, finding out a way to win a football game when you're only down to like 3 plays, right? You have all those plays on your play chart, but when it's rainy and nasty out, you have about 4 plays to 3 plays that you can actually execute, and they know it. You know it. We saw a lot of what they do. They ran the quarterback Magoo the last 6 plays of the game. Everybody knew that he was going to run the football, and so did Salina. But Elida found a way. We're just going to be tougher than you. Don't take that away from the kids. Let them play in the elements.
The only time I can remember looking at Miles and saying we shouldn't be playing is very early on when we were paired together. We had a playoff game at Findlay, and I want to say it was Antwerp and LCC?
Couldn't see the field because
of
snow. Yeah,
the snow was coming in sideways.
Yeah,
we had
a
50-mile-an-hour wind, and snow, and like we're in the booth, and we're telling people, like, we would love to describe the action if we could see it. Like, we're going to hope for the best, and that was the only time everyone's memories of playoff football is watching weather like that. But you know, when it's raining, you got to deal with it.
Gilly and I had a game at Tiffin 2 years ago, Cleveland, Glenville, Van Wert. We couldn't see the field. You couldn't see the markers. You couldn't see that the snow was coming in so bad.
Same night, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. And it was really hard to describe anything going on. Now, fortunately, it turned out to be a really good game, but man, the conditions were really bad.
You know, you had guys on, you know, you're playing on the 50 going, you know, one way, and there are guys with shovels, or there might even been a gator, like sweeping the lines on the other side of the field, hoping there wasn't a play coming at them just so you could see yard mark. I mean, they were doing that the entire night. They spent 23 minutes of halftime trying to clear the field. And that's the only time that, and again, like you guys said, but what are you going to do?
That was a night Don Shula was mad because that convict came over and he cleared off the spot for Ron Meyer to have the field goal kicked for the Patriots.
There's something to be said, and I will make this argument, where if the field conditions are going to be deteriorated to a point to where, man, it's just going to, I mean, we can play football, but it's going to be just terrible football, then I think a decision can be made at that moment on whether we want to continue this. There was years ago when I was covering sports over in the east side of the state, we had a pretty nasty rainstorm that came through, and I was covering New Philadelphia, and it was just grass field at that point in time, back when, you know, a lot of schools had grass fields. And the field from the 40 to the 40 just turned into a mud pit because that's where the teams were. They couldn't move the ball, and the field just got destroyed. The grass got torn up. It was just a mud pit. New Philadelphia was supposed to host a playoff game that next week, and they were having to move that game because we can't host it in this. It's a hole now essentially in there. So I'm amenable to an argument that says, hey, look, the field conditions are just not going to be conducive to playing this game in its entirety. You know, now fields are a lot better than they used to be. We don't have a lot of grass fields, and the grass fields we have seem to be a little more durable than they were back in the 20th century when it was just throw some grass out and play.
I think Kenton is the only WBL school that doesn't have turf. Does Defiance have turf?
Elida,
that's right. Yeah. So Elida and Kenton, I think, are the only two WBLs. So a lot of schools are going to that too.
Yeah. So there's an argument made for that, but for this is uncomfortable to me, and suck it up. You know what you got yourself into.
I mean, yeah, was it kind of a pain in the butt because our window was open and our notes are getting wet? Yeah, but that's something like...
We toughed it out, Randy.
That's right.
We're mentally tough.
Right. Sitting in that booth. Right. I'm proud of you, too. That's right.
And I had to sit next to Miles. Ugh.
Oh, all right. Hang on.
I called a game in a snowstorm in no press booth. I don't want to hear it.
All right, guys. Hang on, Sloopy. It's time to talk a little Buckeye chatter. I love starting this out with you, Miles. This is your baby. The good, the bad, the Buckeye.
The good, forcing turnovers. And it's a good thing Ohio State did, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially early in that football game. Lathan Ransom again. Comes in and chops one out. A fantastic job by that defense. It is something that they have shown that they're proficient in this year. Remember, last year they just play defense and keep everything in front, but they are forcing turnovers this year. The Will Howard interception, I'm not talking about the actual interception. I'm talking about the one that should have been in the end zone. Yeah. Much different football game had Michigan State came down with that one. You cannot lock into a guy and watch him come all the way across. That would have been two interceptions for Will Howard, very concerning, and it would have been a different football game. And the Buckeye, I know you guys are probably going to rave about Jeremiah Smith, and rightfully so, but let me tell you about Caleb Downs. Looked like an NFL starting safety on Saturday night. He was absolutely ridiculously good, and I think that's going to be Jim Knowles' answer moving forward when you talk about they're going to play teams that want to run the football, i.e. Iowa this week. Well, I think Caleb Downs is going to be very active in that box, probably blitzing on rundowns to try to take away from that stretch run that Iowa loves so much.
Yeah. Randy?
So I saw on Facebook you got to talk to Jim Knowles, Miles. Was that?
Meeting him in person was something else last Saturday.
Did he take to your ideas on defense?
My wife's got dinner ready, all right?
I can't go on that long.
Randy, the good, the bad, the Buckeye.
The good was that I got to watch more of the game than I thought because I had to make a decision with my team. I really wanted to watch Alabama, Georgia, and then it was 30-7, and I had it on my phone on Peacock, and I'm trying to watch my phone, watch the screen. All right, this isn't working, so made the switch, put Peacock on the TV. Then, of course, I'm getting alerts that 30-7 turned into 33-28 or whatever. So good to see Ohio State, just another banger of a team they're able to put away. I hope they get to play someone someday and figure out if this is a good football team.
A little bit of a shot.
So
huh?
I get to, all right. Yeah. No Toledo on their schedule this year.
We're no Mississippi State either.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Ouch.
And by the way, have you guys seen the meme about, like, Ohio State and Toledo versus the MAC since versus the SEC since 2003 or whatever.
Got a good record.
Yeah, 2-3 against 1-5 or whatever it is. So,
all right, thanks, Randy.
By the way, guess I won't be appearing on the show anymore.
No. People cancel all the time. We'll call you.
By the way.
You're going to get your Mike J.D. Vance if you keep it up there.
By the way, did anyone, I know I talked to Miles about this. Did you guys see that? And I don't want this to turn into the Toledo hour, but the day after Toledo beat Mississippi State, the guy donated $8 million to the Mississippi State football program to fix it.
Oh.
Like, this will never happen again. Here is my check.
What a SEC solution,
that's exactly what I was going to say. What an SEC way of doing things. Right.
Because it just means more. Well,
apparently. I didn't get to see a lot of it. Yeah, there's a freshman receiver that apparently is really good. Which I know that could be any number of people for Ohio State, but I kind of look at this Iowa State, I think is slightly better than people think.
They are,
and my only concern is that you've got a big game with Oregon coming up the week after. Maybe trap game, he says with a question mark. That's my only real concern.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you if it were in Iowa City. But it being in Columbus, I just look at the athletes on both sides of the ball and the guys, the skill position players. But I'll talk about that later. Patrick, the good, the bad, the Buckeye.
Well, you know, I was encouraged that because Michigan State has always been kind of a sticky wicket for Ohio State, especially over the last, you know, 20 odd years. It seems like there's always a trap laid, whether it's in East Lansing or whether it's in Columbus. There's just a propensity for Michigan State to kind of ruin Ohio State's national championship chances. And I'm so glad that College Game Day took the opportunity to point that out while Nick Saban was on there on the panel. Always,
you know what? They should have moved
thrilled.
That game in 2015. It got rained that night. We should have moved it, played it on a different day.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
No field goal to be kicked that night.
Should have played it.
Zeke.
Should have played it inside Value City Arena where there's a dome.
That's yeah. right.
We don't win much there.
That's a fair point, too. But, you know, glad that we were able to get past Michigan State and get past handily. You know, every once in a while you have to – that first conference game always seems like it can be trouble. It was sometimes trouble in the Urban Meyer era. Just glad to see that they're past that. The bad, I am a little concerned about my boy Sonny Styles. I don't like his progression at linebacker. I was expecting to see more from him. He's a Pickerington grad. I was in Pickerington for a little bit, so Pickerington Central, I guess, but I still call it Pickerington. So I was hoping he would develop a little bit faster, a little bit more than what he is.
It's a position change, though.
It is a position yeah. change, but a lot of what he did well, I'm not seeing that translate into the new position. It's almost like he's I don't know. Maybe there's too much in his head. Maybe he's overthinking the position. Maybe there's a lot of that stuff's going on. But I'd like to see him play with that freedom, with that energy, with that passion that I saw him play with at Pickerington. And I've seen him play at different times as a Buckeye. So I need to see him get back to that. And the Buckeye, I don't know what that means. What does that
mean? The guy.
The guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Jeremiah Smith. I mean, you make two ridiculous one-handed catches on the same drive, and you kind of have to have that moniker. So, yeah. And I'm hoping he stays around Ohio State for a while because at some point the well's going to run dry. We can't keep getting these five-star wide receivers. We got to win a national championship. We got to close the deal on some of these things.
I told Miles today on the radio show that you can bank on this. Jeremiah Smith is going to continue to play like he's playing, and next year we're going to have to outbid somebody to keep him. I mean, that's just the way the college football landscape is. Don't tell me somebody's not going to throw $500,000-$700,000 at this kid. We're seeing people walk out the door every day. Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. And Matthew Sluka probably isn't going to be a wide receiver.
Well, we'll get him to replace him. Yeah,
we'll have him back up.
Yeah. Come on, hang on, Sluka. Hang on, Sluka would be big.
Hang on, Sluka.
Speaking of Jeremiah Smith,
didn't do it UNLV.
He's my good for this week. I don't know that we've seen anything like this. You know, years ago we saw Marvin Harrison at the end of his freshman year have the big game in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Remember? And then Jackson Smith and Jigba, about middle of his sophomore year, were like, that kid's pretty good. Remember Chris Olave, the Michigan game his freshman year, caught two passes, and we're like, wow, it took him a while, but man, he's going to be good. Jeremiah Smith, from day one, we're like, holy moly, how good is he?
Yeah.
The progression is it's just going to be a meteor rise, and if he keeps his head on straight, he's going to be the best player in college football. It's either him or Ryan Williams, and we're seeing just both of them just dominate. They're NFL ready, and Jeremiah Smith is NFL body ready. I mean, he is a big kid, and I hope he stays.
And to borrow a point from Randy Rocket over here, I want to see him do that against better defenses too.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
see him make those kind of plays against teams that have really solid defenses.
He said, "I made a good point." He said,
"I'm sorry, we didn't recognize that." The chair recognizes Randy.
I thought I said I borrowed your point.
Now, if only, and this isn't a knock, but can you get like an NFL ready quarterback to go with your NFL? I mean, no offense to Will Howard, but
offense
well,
taken.
That sounds a little.
It is kind of offensive,
can you,
Randy.
Can you get like an NFL? I don't see. I mean, listen.
You can't just say with all due respect and then say whatever you want.
I love Brock Purdy more than the next guy, but
I'll say this, Randy. I'll say this.
Is there?
I'm really
Like, Will Howard's not going to be lighting up NFL defenses.
I don't care what he does in the NFL. He's an absolute upgrade.
Because he's
going to
play fullback.
He's an absolute upgrade from what we had last year.
Oh, without a doubt.
He has three rushing touchdowns this year.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen what Syracuse has done on offense this year?
It's the ACC, Randy. Relax.
They're 3-1 and may or may not beat UNLV Friday night.
that's a great point. Will Howard has three rushing touchdowns. In 21, 22, 23, and 24, we had one rushing touchdown from the quarterback position. He doesn't score another touchdown all year. It doesn't matter. He's still the king. All right? He is Craig Krenzel with speed.
You don't want Kyle McCord
again,
back.
Which goes back to my point. Can we get an NFL-ready quarterback?
Well,
listen, I understand he played for the Bengals.
Your NFL quarterback, he lives in Bellefonte. He'll be there next year.
He's coming. I know.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
Yeah. The bad for me, guys, is the slow starts. I know we're winning these games, but the slow starts kind of concern me. When we do play Oregon, when we do play Michigan, when we do play Penn State, those slow starts, don't. You know, come on, come out swinging. But the Buckeye for me, and I'm going to take off of the slow start, is the consistency. I like the makeup of this team. I like the chip on their shoulder right now. I like the fact that they do it's a slow start, but they don't give up many points. And I know we're not playing anybody. I'm not going to dispute that with you, Randy. We're not playing that great of teams, but you're going to see a whole different ball game this week. I think you're going to see a 28-17 kind of game. Iowa won't be able to score with you, but I don't know that we're going to pile up
not
points.
Not what the
odds
makers are saying.
Yeah, what is it? What's the line?
19.5 last I saw.
It's Vegas, no.
Yeah. Except for the right line every single week.
Right? Yeah, besides that. Yeah. That city was built on losers. I've given them my money. all right, guys, let's talk about it. Gray unis versus Iowa. I don't like them. Miles likes them.
Oh, I love the gray uniforms. You know why I like them? Because they're not the Penn State JT Barrett gray uniforms that they wore. Those were hideous,
those
weren't
were
they?
Hideous,
yeah, I really like these gray uniforms.
I want to go all scarlet, and they won't do it.
They did it once. Remember against Penn State with the scarlet pants? That was a fantastic look. But, I like the grays. I have a jersey.
Randy's got that disdain look on his
face. I'm a traditionalist. You've got a home jersey, you got an away jersey, and let's stick with them, said the guy whose alma mater wore highlight yellow.
I was going to say it. Highlight yellow. You like the gray, Patrick. You like the black unis. I like the all-black unis.
I'm not a fan, usually, of the color rush aspect of it, which is we all wear the same color.
Sure.
I don't like those across the board, no matter who does them. I'm just really not a fan of it. I don't mind the gray, but something else needs to be a different color. I did like the black tops, I think we did one year. I thought those were kind of cool, but
didn't we go all black against Virginia Tech, Braxton Miller, remember?
No, that was not. No.
No, maybe not. Oh well.
So gray tops. I think the gray tops look nice, but something else needs to happen with the pants.
Just as long as you don't, you guys had the, and I don't remember how long it was, you guys put the numbers on in black on the sleeve. Was that
a 1968 national championship uniform?
Was
warm again.
You guys,
I know.
I love that.
Patrick, does it bother you that it's gray and then the opponent's wearing white? Is that enough of a difference between the two teams?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it?
Okay. The black helmets for Iowa give it away.
Yeah, right. I think so.
Just saying.
I mean, yeah, you could look at it as this is a before Technicolor matchup where everyone just kind of looks the same.
We're
but
still in Kansas. We haven't made it to the Oz.
Right. Yeah. We haven't discovered color yet. We haven't put those rods and cones in. So this is how it sounded back in this time when everyone who talked on the radio sounded like this.
Miles, this is a 3:30 start time.
It's the worst.
Here's besides the 3:30 start time, which I don't like. We've talked about this. I'm a late night guy. 7 o'clock start. Here's the thing. I'm glad we're playing in Columbus because I don't like playing at Iowa City because when we beat them 58-0, we have to remember they waved to the sick kids, and I feel terrible taking that beautiful day away from those little kids in the hospital when they wave at them. So I'm glad we're playing in Columbus.
I think they use that as an advantage.
They do. They do.
It's tough to think about being physical and violent. When you're
not the
waving
pink
to kids.
Locker rooms, it's not the. It's.
I think they got rid of the pink
it's
locker
the,
rooms.
It's you the know, kids.
Hayden Fry was a genius.
I don't think little 6-year-old Maria's main issue is whether or not the Hawkeyes are doing well in the first quarter. Right.
I really don't think that's an issue. Yeah. I don't
think
she's there.
You're down 21-0. You don't have time to wave to me right now.
Kirk Ferentz got another contract? Are you kidding me?
I don't think she's hooked up to the chemo machine going, McNamara, figure it out. But that's just me.
Good point. Yeah. Well, okay, but let's go back to the start time, you guys. Do you like the 3:30 start times?
7:30, 7 o'clock.
Yes, love that.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it for me, it goes to like the conference realignment. And I said it was the only when it became weird for me is when I was flipping through channels and Big Ten Network opening week at 11 o'clock had Washington and Sacramento State, whoever the heck they played. Yeah. That's when I'm like, oh yeah, Washington's a Big Ten. Like, Miami's going to Cal on Saturday. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Right. USC just went to Michigan. Oh, okay. So, and listen, you have to understand that this is a guy who, when he wants to watch his team play 6 weeks out of the year, he needs to see if it's Tuesday or Wednesday. So, yeah. I mean, the kickoff thing, because the Big Ten with its three national network deal, yeah, if you want to watch one team every week, it's probably a pain for everyone to go, oh, wait, are they on CBS at 3:30? Are they on NBC at 7:30? Is this the big noon kickoff? Which, by the way, if you listen to Gus Johnson do those promos, he's not saying noon. Mm. Listen carefully.
What's he saying?
It's nude. If you listen, he says big nude kickoff.
Well, they get more viewers.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, they're hoping. So just listen to that when you hear it. Yeah. You won't un- yeah, see, I got Danny's attention. You won't hear it now.
My favorite Gus Johnson call was when Denzel Ward lit that kid up from Maryland. He goes, "Where's the barbecue?"
Yeah. Hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Miles, should we be concerned about Iowa? I know that's an arrogant statement to say, and you put it on paper. I did.
No, I don't think so at all. I think this is one of those games where people are going to say, oh, here comes Iowa. Here comes that great defense. Here comes them running the football. Like, Ohio State is not going to run the football early, but it's going to be by plan. They're going to go high tempo. They're going to throw the football. Will Howard's going to have a 300-yard-plus day, and then in the second half, they'll start running the football after they worn down. Look, if you look at that secondary of Iowa's defense, they can't match up. They will not match up. And I think Ohio State defensively will be good enough. Tyleek Williams will be back. That's going to be a huge difference stopping the run game.
102-6, is that what you're
– No, I think Ohio State definitely gets 35-plus. I think they get 42, and Iowa gets maybe 14, one touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Is that how you guys see it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think this is a trap game for Ohio State at all. I'm with you. If it wasn't Kinnick, I think there'd be a little bit more of a concern that
don't
this could
play
be an
there
issue.
Ever.
If I could never play in Kinnick again, that'd be
good
great.
News is it'll be like 24 teams in the Big Ten, and it'll be like once every 8 years.
I'm fine with that.
I got some lousy McDonald's food in Iowa City one morning. I'm not kidding. It's terrible.
See, I'm waiting for the Ohio State-USC kickoff to be 10 p.m. one year. And then come tell me about bad kickoff times.
That I don't think.
On the peacock.
Yeah, that I don't think will ever happen. But
speaking of USC, I'm not.
You are more likely to see it the other way, where you're going to see someone. It's only a matter of time until these West Coast teams complain about they don't get the noon window. You're going to see someone on the West Coast with a 9 a.m. local kickoff.
You're going to see Minnesota upset USC this weekend. Bad weather conditions, USC.
I will tell you why that won't happen. I will tell you why that won't happen.
P.J.
Fleck.
Tell
you what, hated him as a receiver at Northern Illinois. I can't tell you how many years of my fandom his teams have and first of all, you think Iowa is this godforsaken barren place.
Yes.
Go to DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
They build tractors there.
I agree with the distinguished gentleman, Randy Roberts.
Yes. Yeah. All right, the floor is yielding to Miles. We're going to start with you. Let's go with our Power 5 football rankings this week, as if it's a surprise who you're picking number one.
Hey, guys, I got Marion Local in there.
I know it.
I got Marion Local, Grove, Wapak, Coldwater, and Bluffton. Look, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback at Grove. They're going to run the football. They're going to be physical on defense. They're not going to let people score. The Wapak team is just outstanding. I just can't believe how good they are. Every week, you say, well, maybe they'll get challenged this week, but they don't. Coldwater, I can't wait for that Coldwater Marion local game. That's going to be so fantastic. Much fun. What do you think the 50-50 is going to be on that night?
14,000.
Yeah,
15,
right, right, right. I want that ticket.
Probably a pretty good guess right there, yeah.
And, of course, Bluffton, we talked about how good they are. So there's my five. It is kind of funny you guys brought up. We never bring in Lima Senior, and all they do is score 100 points every single week, right?
That's a good point. Patrick, who you got, Power 5?
I think the same thing as Miles, probably.
You're a smart man.
Marion Local and Coldwater have almost always been 1A and 1B in the MAC, and that's going to be the same thing this year. Their game at the end of the season is going to be, you know, can Marion Local break the streak for most wins in a row? And then they'll only have one more game to beat Ironton for most games without a loss in a row. So Marion Local looks like they're poised to do that. But a funny thing, every time Marion Local has had a game or had a streak of longer than 30 wins, it has been snapped by Coldwater. So they had a streak of 30 wins that was snapped in 2008 by Coldwater, 31-14. And in 2014, they had a streak of 41 wins in a row that was snapped by Coldwater, 17-14. That game we had on WOSN. Just in case you were looking around.
And that's what you were going to lead with in the A block back then. Right, yeah, that's right.
Anyway, and they didn't have it. although if he had called me and been like, hey, look, man, I won the 50-50 and I'm not coming back in. Okay.
Randy, Power 5, who you got?
I'm going to go, Marion Local Coldwater probably won too. I got to try to sneak Minster in there somewhere. I really am a big believer in Minster.
Yeah, that's some good athletes.
They do. I will be fine. You know what? I'll be the guy to do it. I'll give Lima Senior some love.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I'll get them in there for a five. I'll say Wapakoneta. Okay. I think there's a whole group that I think is really.
He started to go I think it was Wasion.
No,
I know where you live.
Not this year.
Washington Courthouse.
God bless my NWOAL. Love them to death, but this is not.
Not a great year.
Not a great year for them.
But did Patrick get his whole five in?
No.
Oh, you did not. How did you not get your whole five in?
You said, let's move on.
Oh, I did? Oh, my gosh. Go ahead. I apologize. Okay.
Bluffton Grove Wapak. That was rounding out my
top
five.
Wow, whoa.
So,
like
no
I said,
new teams.
I think it was pretty much the same thing. But I just think Wapak is just a really complete team. Like I think I know the type of team that you'd have to construct to defeat Wapak. I don't think it exists in WBL, and I think it's a team that probably won't cross paths with Wapak until maybe 2 or 3 weeks into the postseason. Yeah. So I think there's a lot going on there. Bluffton Grove at the end of the season is going to be a heck of a matchup.
Yeah, guys, I've got Marion Local, surprise, Columbus Grove, Bluffton, Coldwater, Wapakoneta. I've got Lima Senior on the outside looking in. I completely agree with what everybody said here. We're kind of waiting to see what they are and what they're about. We know they can score points, but can they stop really good teams? What do they do when they play a team that, you know, controls the line of scrimmage and runs the ball really effective and keeps that offense off the field? We'll see that in the playoffs. Obviously, the cold weather and the bad weather is not going to affect them, but those are my top five, and nothing different from what you guys got. I think that you're right, Randy. Minster has got a quality program with Brogan Steffi running the show over there, and finally healthy after a couple years of being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Coldwater, Marion Local, Bluffton, Columbus Grove going to be the two matchups of the year. I've got Wapakoneta Bath in a couple weeks at Wapak. I'm excited about that matchup only because I think that Bath will right the wrong, you know, knowing what they what happened to them against OG. I don't know that they'll beat Wapakoneta, but I think that, you know, offensively they'll be okay. What was that look for, Miles?
I hope it's 62-56 and takes 3 hours and 15 minutes to play.
Yeah.
Not that I know anything about that.
I said to my wife the other day, I said, hey, honey, I've got Lima Senior this weekend. I could be there for a long, long time. And she said, no, I know who they're playing. It'll be a running clock.
Smart woman.
Yeah, all right. She is. All right. Guys, thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
A lot of fun.
Really appreciate it. This was a great broadcast. You have been listening to the Three Wise Men on WOSN.